Blog Talk Radio.
like Ben X2. I shake phonies, man, you can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sing, though. I sling, though, if anything, I bling, yo. Star like Ringo, war like a green beret. Crazy, bring your whole set. Crazy in the range, crazy in the range. They can't figure them out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best firm chinchilla. I've been dealing with chain smokers. How you think I got the name over? I've been realer, the game's over. Fall back young, ever since I made the change over to platinum. The game's been a rap one.
I've known Prince since way before that, even though we have never met in person. I was like his little pen pal back then. but yeah, so I love Dick Clark. Dick Clark have always inspired me just as a person, a producer, not just American Bandstand, but I love the other productions. And of course, we love the American Music Awards and New Year's parties. I mean, what would this coming year be like without having Dick Clark? And so, just, you know, my condolences goes out to his wife and former people, dancers of American Bandstand, anybody who ever worked with him and whatever. Wow, my inspiration, David Harrison Levi, he's definitely saddened because Dick Clark was a very close friend of his, and he stated on Facebook that he was going to visit his star and place some flowers on it. So I said, please place a kiss on there, on his star for me also. And so that's just something. So we'll talk more about the legacy of Dick Clark, the vote and show to him. But we're going to talk sports. Get well soon, Dwight Howard, who's having surgery today in L.A. Tom Toronto and Morning Show has been talking about that also this morning. And the only reason why I play Beyonce and Jay-Z is because also Beyonce is seeking to get her GED. She dropped out of school when she was 14, and she's finally getting her GED. I want to shout out to Kim K and Kanye West also. I haven't been like checking out her tweets recently, but I received an email from Hollywood Life how she is like coming out openly professing her love for Kanye West. And my mother and I, we love Kanye West. And, you know, love the Kardashians, also the Jenner family. So, let them have their thing, do their thing. And, just, you know, as long as they're happy, I'm happy also for them. And so on. But there's so much sports news to talk about. And I said I would post about Lewis Howes today. But some of you know who Lewis Howes is. Some of you can tell me more about Lewis Howes. I networked with him, you know, for like the past few years. We have a lot of the same friends and so on. But recently, I'm just like real gung-ho. I feel like in the recent year, and then especially this past fall and with the release of his newest book, I'm just I'm amazed how he encouraged others and his success story. And just from knowing his story, his story of triumph begins much farther than when he was playing professional ball, was in a football, and he had the surgery that ended his career, his dreams of not only being an arena football player, but also becoming an NFL football player. And so, for those of you who don't know, his story started, you know, after he was injured and he was chilling, sleeping on his sister's couch. You know, he had to come up with plans. And he definitely wanted to stay in the sports industry, so he began SportsNetworker.com and Sports Executive Association, which I'm a part of. And he helps and guides others in finding their niche in the sports industry and landing the sports industry job and developing their sports careers in an effective manner. And also in building personal relationships also. And one thing that's posted on his Facebook page right now, because this is Sports Friday edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Report, is a quote from Vincent Lombardi. And it's, "Leaders aren't born, they are made just like anything else. Though hard work, and that's the price we'll have to pay to achieve that goal or any goal." Vincent Lombardi. So that is what's on his fan Facebook page. And also, you just have to hear his story, born in, from, but really outside of Columbus, Delaware, Ohio. And you have to hear his story about attending boarding school. So you all know how much I love to do profile shows. So like I have done on some of my other favorite people, like Austin Brown and the Jacksons and so on. Definitely not only is a profile program coming up on Dick Clark, but a profile of Lewis Howes. And it would be great if when that profile show airs, that maybe Lewis will give us a call. I'm in the chat room also, and the number is 714-409-0614. Reggie and I would try to get your call in if you do call. because, like I said, we got the draft coming up. We have OTAs. Not to mention the NFL schedule has been released. And I like I mentioned before, Wednesday. But I've seen some people complain about the Saints schedule. But I think that's an awesome schedule, even though I do like it when my top favorite teams don't play each other. And the Dallas Cowboys and the Saints happen to play each other during the Christmas holidays. So that is going to be a good game. I love to be in the team for that game. And then the Super Bowl will be in New Orleans. And then they're kicking off the preseason, playing the Cardinals at the Hall of Fame game. But the NFL football schedule, I mean, if you haven't seen it, you check out NFL.com, on the NFL Network. Visit Saints, New Orleans Saints.com. You know, you want to see all everything Saints. The same thing with Dallas Cowboys, because, you know, I'm not like Dallas Cowboys, but I support and I have my favorite players. I network with my favorite players, and I advise many of you to network with your favorite players also. Clinton Portis, and I see where. Didn't the Saints have that proper football player, Joe Horn? I think he's following me on Twitter. I think that's him. Might be another Joe Horn. But I'm like, hey, I got super excited when I saw that Joe Horn is following me. And so I love networking with my favorite athletes and executives and owners and so on. And you know, and speaking of nabbing a job in the sports industry, what's up, Mark Cuban? So, you know, because that's someone that I always, remind, hey, Mark, you need to hire me. But go ahead and chime in with Reg Roughneck. And I'm looking at a story right quick, too, about Mike Tyson. Congratulations to him also on the success of his one-man show that's happening at the MGM Grand. And I just received an email from Yard Blocker, you know, the sports blog website, and they're talking about an explosive interview that Mike Tyson had given this past weekend with Rick Riley, and he really goes out hardcore about talking about impregnating a security guard when he's in prison and other things. But shout out to Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson and I used to love relaying messages to Mike Tyson when he was in prison, because the time he was in prison, I had a boyfriend who I loved so much, and he loved me also, and he really close with Mike and always would, I always would send messages through him, because Mike Tyson always been like one of my favorite boxers of my name from forever, from when he was Olympic, yeah. And I used to always relay a message to my former boyfriend, you know, shout out to the memory of the late Charles Williams, who used to be the president of the Indiana Black Expo. If y'all remember, that's the event that Mike Tyson had gotten in hot water about. So I used to always relay messages to Mike Tyson. So I know Charles is in heaven just so happy that Mike is happy and love and married and doing really good and has a successful one-man show going on. But one thing about Mike Tyson, he's honest and open. So just looking at this article at Yard Barker, they're talking like, you know, wow, this is an explosive interview. But it's always explosive when people are really honest. Even if it's something boring, it's just explosive when people come straight out and be blunt about what's going on in their lives and the truth regarding things that have happened in their life, you know? So I'll just shout out to him. But we have a few minutes to talk with Reg on live streaming, and then we have like 10, 15 more minutes. And also, Lewis House will be hosting a webinar this afternoon at 1 Eastern Time. I think, no, 2 Eastern Time. It'll be 1 Central Time, my time. So visit. I go to a webinar. I'll give you more information if we have enough time. Well, I definitely will give you more information regarding the webinar, because it's about outsourcing this business and sticking to. Don't get disappointed if you're not doing so hot with the goals that you had set at the beginning of the year. So the webinar is scheduled for today and tomorrow. So I will definitely provide you all with the information so you can be a part. And if you don't network with Lewis House now, definitely do your best to attend one of the webinars scheduled, one today or the one tomorrow. Okay, shout out to Shamira Martini, PhD, also. There's a big event happening at Beamer's in Dallas, also a big beauty hair event. And Martini, PhD, tour stops here in Jackson, Mississippi, in like a week, May the 4th through 7th, and then he's going to his hometown of Columbus, Ohio, the same place where Lewis is from, also, you know, the metro area of Columbus. But again, thank you for tuning in, and my apologies for the technical difficulty, because I know, you know, some of you have to watch your, you know, have to watch the time and so on. So on the website, blogtalkradio.com/CultureShockEnt, KULTRESHOKENT, hyphen back, and listen to archive and past shows also. And I want to shout out my fellow blogtalkradio.com cohort also, like 360 Relationship, hosted by Tiffany Williams, Harrow, and also other network with. But again, we have about 15 more minutes, and so we're going to talk with Rich Rupnick also, which probably felt like getting me. But, you know, Murphy's Law, how to prepare. And shout out also to NoLabels.org. Enjoy the conference call with Senator John Kerry on yesterday. Hi, Rich Rupnick.
What's up, Beth?
Hey, had a little technical difficulty calling. The phone needed to finish charging this morning. How you been doing?
Hey. Like you said,
like
technical difficulty.
You like the yep. You like the NFL schedule?
Well, I mean, usually when I peek the schedule and the draft comes up, that's usually my first step toward looking toward the upcoming season. But it's really starting to become obvious that, you know, the off season is pretty short in general, and it doesn't, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, 5 months pass between the Super Bowl and then when training camp starts and then the exhibition season starts in August. So it's a pretty narrow window, but a whole lot of things goes on behind the scenes for football to get ready for, you know, those last few months of the year that we all look forward to. So I didn't get a chance to see in detail the major games for, like, the Cowboys, and I haven't really looked at the Saints schedule yet, but, you know, those used to be the first two schedules I like to look at first.
Exactly, and they're awesome, too. Well, the Saints will be in Big D December 23rd. Sunday before Christmas.
Oh, so I trust that you have the schedule right in front of you.
I don't have it right in front of me. It's embedded in my brain. But you know, the Saints and Dallas schedules are in my brain. It's in my brain.
Yeah.
But I have it on Kindle, though. I can pull it up and go down the row of their schedule. But I had to see. I always look to see if they're playing each other, first of all. Then when
right,
I see the date,
right,
I'm like, oh, my God. The last time they met was Thanksgiving, like what we talked about, 2010. So now they're meeting Christmas, pretty much, Sunday before Christmas. And you know, you all whooped up. I mean, well, not you all, because I love both teams, but, I mean, this is going to be a good game, because that was
it usually funny. Is.
that was something.
Yeah, I was. I couldn't help but listen to you when you was talking about Mike Tyson, and I definitely wanted to briefly say, you know, I really admire and respect the changes that Mike Tyson chose to make with his life. And I mean, even after the death of his daughter a few years ago,
And that's when he was like getting a lot of people really admiring him for his appearance in Hangover. And right after that,
right,
after his daughter died. Yeah.
Right, I mean, like, so that man has really had to endure and had to slay a lot of demons from his past and to try to stay focused and move ahead, you know, and then having to focus on, of course, his marriage and, you know, his family and everything. He talked very candidly about the fact that these are things that he never had growing up or never had to identify with growing up. You know, Mike Tyson was pretty much like a... He was like a pit bull that grew up and was just being bred to fight, and he got exploited by so many people, got used by so many people, and then when he went to prison, he pretty much was just discarded, and then when he got out, he was even more discarded. And
I mean, that's a whole another topic right there.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a whole another topic because I myself, someone who experienced being raped, I still think that I'm one of those people that think that he was falsely accused.
Well, I'm going like this. I've told you about my personal situation, right? I feel like he got exploited in that regard. I mean, it's kind of like with Kobe Bryant. Having sex with someone is not a crime, but then when a woman turns around and uses that to get back at you because they wanted more out of it than just a one night roll in the hay.
That's a gold digger in a rage or something.
Exactly, and that's basically what it ended up becoming, and. It's just that Mike Tyson was not able to handle the situation because anytime you get a tax attorney to be your attorney in a case like that, you know, he pretty much got used on that one, on that one too. And, you know, like I said, Don King definitely threw him under the bus before, during, and after he made things bad because when Mike Tyson...
Well, tell me how you think he threw him under the bus, because you know I love Mr. Don King too. So how you're not alone in your perception of that. So how did he throw him under the bus?
I'm gonna tell you. The thing about Don King was Don King saw Mike Tyson as a little golden goose to come around and lay some eggs for him. He got into Mike Tyson's head, influenced him, made Mike Tyson turn against the people that brought him up. You know, Bill Caden, Jim Jacobs. Well, after Jacobs passed away, Caden was his manager. He got rid of him, got rid of Kevin Rooney. He just threw everybody out there. And then all Mike Tyson had after that was a bunch of yes men. And Mike Tyson was the type of guy, he wasn't a leader, he was a follower. And In the process of him following, he fell tremendously because there was nobody there to keep him in line, keep him motivated, keep him focused. And when the incident happened in Indiana, you know, I just feel that King did not do anything to try to look out for him as far as trying to, you know, get him some good legal help. Because, like I said, hiring a tax attorney to be a defense lawyer in a rape case was just totally ludicrous. I mean, he wasn't prepared to testify. He wasn't prepared to do any of those things. And when he went up there on the witness stand, he looked like a total, complete idiot. And that's what got him cut. Down in front of the court. And the fact that even the main basis of the case, it was all irrelevant because they just saw him as someone that needed to be brought down a peg or two. Then when he went to prison and got out, when he got out of prison,
his sentence was like forever. Sentence is like forever. He was locked up a pretty long time.
3 years, but the thing about it is 3 years for a boxer in your prime and then try to come back. It makes it very difficult. And then, you know, I mean, look at what happened to Muhammad Ali when he got out of prison. I mean, not out of prison, but being out of the ring. they sentenced him to prison, but he never went. But you know, Mike Tyson was a very exploited and used commodity back during that time. And so when he got,
I want to make note right quick to the listeners that only Mike Tyson and what was the young lady's name at the time? Only he and she know what
happened. Desiree Washington.
Yeah, Desiree Washington. Only he and she know what happened that night. So people who want to get on me about sharing my opinion, and I've been date raped before, so, and I didn't tell nobody but two close friends and did not want it. And to this day, I do not release the names of what or who the assailants were, but I share my story. But those who want to get on me for sharing my, that's just my opinion. Only Mike Tyson and Desiree Washington know what happened in that room. But her story kept changing to me. Her story did not stay consistent. Mike Tyson's story did stay consistent. You have to be a rocket scientist to figure some things out. Okay, Rich.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about it is, you're right about the fact that we really don't know what happened or anything, but I think I admired Mike Tyson the way he handled it after the fact, because what he said afterwards definitely made me.
Mike Tyson was dating at that time, and it was somebody who loved back then.
Nah, I mean, he was dating a lot of people during that time.
Yeah, but like, main squeeze was BNGB, who was hot at that time. BNGB.
For those of us who remember her tremendously long career that lasted maybe 20 months at the most. So
that's our homegirl, you know. Yeah, she and we worked together before she moved to California, and MC Hammer helped her. But yeah, that's when he was dating at the time. She was still hot at that time. And we used to visit him when he was in prison, and whoo. They said the prisoners used to go crazy.
I'm gonna have to do a Wikipedia on BNGB today to see what's going on with her, just since we done brought that name up.
I asked Hammer recently, where was she? Because she and I used to kind of keep in touch with each other, and he said she's in Atlanta. So looks like Atlanta.
I guess,
she's in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's like the new black celebrities hideout now. Former black celebrities. Yeah, everybody hides out in Atlanta now. But back to what I was saying. You know, Mike Tyson went back and talked about how when he got out of prison, he had to refocus and regroup himself. But he said that as much as he could have been bitter about what had happened, he felt like he was always going to be falsely accused of what happened. He thought about some of the things that he did as a kid growing up that he got away with, and he feel like the 3 years he did in prison kind of made up for the things he did, like, you know, mugging old ladies. He talked about this one time he had he took this lady's groceries up to her apartment, and then he attacked her with a hammer and stole her ring. And he just talked about, like, during that time, he was a vicious, savage young little animal. He was, like, 12 years old at the time, living out on the street.
Yeah.
And he talked about, you know, that's
so
kind of what.
He implemented his survival skills on and in and out the ring.
Right. So he just saw that as just bad karma for some of the things he had done before that he had gotten away with. And that took a lot of, I think that took a lot of contrition to say what was needed to be said and how he concluded and resolved those issues in his heart and in his mind. So, I mean, I just say big ups to him for, you know, facing up to what he had done wrong, you know, in or out, and being a better person now. Even though some people still try to pick at him and try to pull out the worst out of him, he tends to look the other way and stay on focus and stay on track. So I think that really makes, you know, I think that takes a lot of mention today. I think that's why I want to mention it.
Okay. Last time you and I talked about sports, and you mentioned Herschel Walker were making a comeback. I would love to hear that Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, had plans to return to the ring. I'm sure I'm not alone.
I don't think Mike wants to do that because at some point you do lose your mental edge to want to do that. Boxing is, you know what I mean, just about as much as football, a sport where you have to have a certain bit of mental thirst, desire, rage, and propensity for violence to play the sport. And for him, it's just been gotten out of him.
Yeah, because his compassionate side has really surfaced. So that's a good point. But,
right,
wow.
You have to have a certain passion to do that for a living. And when you lose it, it's gone. You don't ever get it back.
But he's always getting praises on his acting abilities nowadays. And I've only seen rave reviews regarding his one-man show that's going on now in Vegas. And have you ever seen him impersonate Herman Cain? People love it when he impersonates Herman Cain.
I think if I see that, that's going to be a treat.
I've got to put the video of him impersonating Herman Cain so you can see it. It is funny. He is good.
Oh man! All right, I might look forward to that one. That's gonna be something to treasure there.
Because Mike is funny, but it makes me think about back in those what was the show called In Living Color? I used to love impersonate Mike.
Well, it was when Keenan and Ivory, when they was doing Love Connection, and I think that was Takiya Crystal Kima that was doing Robin Givens, and then you had Keenan doing Mike Tyson. Yeah, that was ridiculous, because I mean, Keenan would just go on. I mean, he'll say some big words that Mike Tyson would probably hang on to, kind of like the way Don King will say some majestic words showing off his superior vernacular. But then he'll just take that one word and just run it into the ground.
Yeah.
Like the word was ecstatic.